This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 268 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
I am excellent.
Good to hear. Good to hear. What's been happening in your world?
Well, I've had a 1/52nd of an annus not badus.
Right. Excellent. An improvement over last week.
Absolutely. The family's been on the mend, and that's always a big improvement. Yeah. And the kiddos are well, and it's, but I'm a little sad. I have a little bit of a bittersweet moment happening right now that it's the end of school holidays and we're going to get the kid back. And,
right.
You know, it's both a joyous moment and a sad one at the same time. So.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, but no, I've had a fun-ish week, a reasonably fun week.
Cool.
I had I had one of those amazing workshops on Friday.
Right.
Where the group, every single one of them, were fantastic.
Right. As in willing to learn.
Just also able to learn.
Right.
Able to get it, able to understand, all helping and sharing each other, no egos.
Nice.
And even one lady even emailed me afterwards and said, oh, "I'm so sad the day's over because I won't be able to find out what happened to Whatchamacallit's holiday and Thinking Me Bob's wedding, and because all the people who come to the workshop had goals and they'd all shared their stories during the day with each other,
awesome.
And they'd all become part of each other's life just that little bit, you know.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting and unusual dynamic. It was fantastic, you know.
Wow.
And it's funny because the week before, as the group were arriving, I texted my wife, said, oh, my God, it's going to be one of those days. And it was.
Right.
Yeah, three of the group's batteries ran out halfway through the day.
Oh,
and had no,
what?
And no, you know, had no ability to charge, and so they couldn't shoot.
Oh.
It's like, really? Yeah,
their fault. I mean, they're the ones putting down the hard-earned money to go to a workshop. If they're not prepared to get their crap together and have their batteries charged beforehand, then they wear it.
No, I agree. I mean, but it doesn't take any stress, any less the stress off me knowing that they're idiots.
Yeah, for sure.
as the group were coming in this last Friday, I've texted my wife, it's going to be one of those days as opposed to those days.
Yeah, right.
To just tell as they were coming in that it was just going to be a great day. And lo and behold, it was. I don't know if I should say this or not. I don't know.
Knowing you, you will.
I will, but it says people that don't hate me or judge me is what I'm going to say.
Right.
What I'm about to say. So when people come up towards me at the workshop, I like to try and guess their names.
Right.
You know, based on how they look, what they physically look like. I try and match the names, and I'm pretty darn good at it.
Right.
You know, and then I can.
Oh, well, of course, because you already know the names of all the participants, but you don't know the faces that go
exactly.
with them.
So
right.
So
okay.
I've got the name, and I'm trying to match up to, what does the John look like?
Yeah.
You know, right. And what does the David look like, or whatever, or Eleanor, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there was this guy who was coming up, it was across the other side of the road, and he was coming over, and only had two guys left. So it was either going to be Mark or Craig.
Right.
Craig, for those American listeners. as he's coming across, I looked at him, and I think, it's Mark. You know, he's a Mark. He's definitely a Mark by look. Mm-hmm. And as he starts getting closer and closer, he starts talking to me. And he was quite gay.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. I love that. I'm a big fan of hanging out with gay men. They're a heap of fun.
Right.
But the second he spoke, I said, oh, no, he's not Mark. He's Craig. Something about being gay and you had to have the name Craig. You couldn't have the name Mark. And it was spot on. He was Craig. It was just funny that, his sexuality changed. Now, physically, the way he looked, he was a Mark.
Right.
But because he was gay, he had to be Craig.
Okay.
It's fun. Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun. I love people watching. I think all us photographers do. So I love that sort of guessing people's names when you already know the list of names. Obviously, it's kind of hard to try and guess out of the ether.
Yeah,
but fun. And then on what was it? Monday night, I went down to the Bellarine Camera Club and did a talk down there.
Okay,
it was fabulous.
Was that far from home?
That's about an hour and a half drive.
Oh, okay. So that's a fair hike.
It's a moderate distance. Yeah, I'll go anywhere reasonably. I'll go 3 or 4 hours from home to talk to my camera club.
Yeah, right.
I like the drive. Yeah, I like the day, the trip out anyway.
Yeah.
And but it was the first time Miss Nearly Seven came along to one of my talks.
Right.
Being school holidays, she could stay up, of course.
Yep.
So she came along and it was her job to hand out my flyers.
Right.
And be quiet. That's kind of her two jobs. And she did a darn good job of both. As soon as I finished talking, she starts going around handing out flyers. Would you like some more information? Would you like some more information?
Awesome.
And people are asking questions as they do at the end of the talk. And she puts out, and it was a talk on street photography versus street portraits. Okay.
Right.
And so she had a hand up for a question. I'm trying to avoid her. I'm asking other people's questions. But it's like, you know, the kid in the front row at school. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Barbarino, Mr. Barbarino.
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Carter, so I had to ask her. And she goes, do you like the people that you take photographs of? I thought that's quite a good question, yeah, for not quite a seven-year-old. I said, well, yeah, I do. And she said, well, are you sad when you leave them? I said, well, no, because I only know them for a minute or two, Emily, but yeah, good question. So it's quite an insightful little question about street photography and meeting people in the street. So we had a good talk, and on the drive down, we took a couple of snapshots here and there, and we were playing around. I didn't get much chance of this whole school holiday to do a single proper photo shoot with kiddo.
Yeah, right.
Which was, a bit between illness and just lack of time.
Yeah.
Which is a bit sad. I've got this great new prop I wanted to use.
Oh, okay.
And but I'll hang on to it. I'll get it out there at some point.
What's the prop?
I can't tell you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's a bowler hat.
Oh, okay.
With a light globe built into the top of it that lights up.
Right. Sounds very Pink Floyd.
Very Storm Thorgerson.
Yeah.
And if you don't know Storm Thorgerson's work as a photographer, check him out. He was, he's alas now dead, but he was a phenomenal visual.
Think of all the great Pink Floyd album covers from Wish You Were Here.
Collection of great dance songs.
Yes.
Momentary
Lapse of Reason.
Yep. Yep.
Pulse, the live album. Delicate Sound of Thunder. Some great stuff. Oh, really? That early? I didn't realize he was on board that early.
Yeah, very, very early, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I guess you've heard they've got a new album coming out in October.
I have, yeah. Milking the Cash Cow, I think it's called, isn't it?
Something like that.
Now, I've heard good stuff.
Yeah?
I've heard that it's actually very sweet.
Right.
But it's mostly
instrumental.
Instrumental, yep. With like one song that's got,
vocal. Yeah.
Vocal. So kind of sad. But I'd like to hear a bit more words. But yeah, without Roger Waters there, there's no meat to the lyrics anyway. So
yeah.
What are you gonna do? Yeah.
Yeah, he was a great lyricist.
Yeah, he was an angry man, and that was tough.
He certainly was.
It always helps. It's sort of about your father dying on you at a young age tends to inspire you to stronger stuff.
Tends to mess you up.
Yeah. And how's your week been?
Good. I'm loving the bike.
Yeah.
The protection from the elements is far superior to what I had on the boulevard. However, on Tuesday night, I foolishly thought that it would be a great idea to go up and see Dave at his place in Hazelbrook, up in the Blue Mountains, where it is absolutely freezing.
Is there snow up there?
Not at the moment, but they do occasionally get.
Oh, because I saw some photos from the Blue Mountains yesterday with snow in it.
Yeah, right. It wouldn't surprise me, because they do occasionally get a light dusting up there.
Yeah.
And so I left his place at, 7 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and it was 2 degrees according to the temperature gauge on the bike.
Chilly.
And by the time I got down to the bottom of the mountain to the sort of the flat area near Penrith and St. Mary's, it actually peaked in the downward direction at -1 centigrade.
Ooh, lovely.
Not the best weather for riding a motorcycle.
Imagine your old one, though.
Oh, I wouldn't have gone up there at this time of year on that bike for exactly that reason. You would just be miserably uncomfortable. In other motorcycle-related news, I got a phone call yesterday morning at work from Paul, the guy who was the mechanic who did all of the servicing on the boulevard. And he said, mate, there's a guy here. He's down from the bush. He's seen your ad on Gumtree. He's interested in the bike. He's got a mate who knows me, so they've rung me and asked me about your bike. I've told them all about it and how well you looked after it. Are you okay with me giving him your name and number? And I went, hell yeah.
Hells yeah.
So, long story short, this guy came around last night with a pocket full of cash, took the bike out for a ride, came back 2 minutes later and went, love it. Let's talk price. We negotiated a price and he handed over $7,500 in cash and rode away on my bike.
Good job, dude.
Yeah, pretty happy with that.
You're going on holidays next week, did I hear?
And yes, so this Sunday, the day that this podcast comes out.
There you go. So the $7,500 in your pocket to go holidays. Well,
actually, no. That's enough. It's going back into the mortgage. But
Trouble and driveway quite allowed.
Yeah, exactly. but this Sunday, Kath and Max and I are flying from Newcastle to Brisbane and then Brisbane to Townsville. And we get into Townsville late on Sunday night.
Hence the question on Shutters Inc. Facebook page.
That's right.
Is anyone listeners live in Townsville?
That's right.
And you've got an earth-shattering non-response.
Yes, that's right. So I'm guessing there's no one up there or the ones that are there are laying low.
Damn, Bruce is coming.
Turn the lights out. Close the blinds.
Roll up the footpaths.
Yeah, so we're staying in Townsville Sunday night because we're getting in too late to get the ferry across to Magnetic Island. And then Monday morning we'll do some grocery shopping and catch the ferry over to Magnetic Island and we'll stay there for the next 7 or 8 days and then come back Monday week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
We have a philosophy in our family that our family holiday each year alternates between international 1 year, domestic holiday the next.
Yeah.
And after we did Borneo last year,
it only stood natural that you'd do Australia this year.
That's right. And Max said, oh, can we go to the Barrier Reef and do some snorkeling? So we went, yeah, okay, sure, fine.
Easy.
Kath and I would have been very happy to go back to Borneo this year. But we said,
No.
Look, we'll stick to the plan. International 1 year, domestic the next. But we're coming back in 2 years.
Those first world problems, hey?
That's exactly right. That's right. So we're going up there to do some snorkeling and whatever other activities we can find and, enjoy some warmer weather than what we've got here.
Nice stuff. Nice. Well, yeah, it's been bitterly cold down here in Melbourne.
Oh, I can imagine.
Me and the Miss Almost 7 were driving along today in sleet. So,
oh, wow.
Nigh on snow. I reckon if it had gone down another degree, it would have been snow. But fun stuff. I love the cold. Could not get too cold for my taste in the world.
I don't mind cold weather as long as I don't feel cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can deal with it being cold as long as I'm rugged up and feeling warm. but feeling cold,
you're a manly man, aren't you?
Oh yeah, that's it.
Okay, let's talk about something photo, shall we? Let's talk about me. No, I did do another shoot. I did a couple of iPhone photo shoots this week.
I saw some stuff today from your wintry Melbourne day.
Get the camera out of the car. They have the iPhone.
You held it up to the closed window of the car and shot through the window.
Once I did wind the window down.
Oh, right. Okay.
But it was a pain because I wanted to get this thing just perfectly framed and had to reverse and forward. Reverse. I had to change the angle of the car. It would have been quicker to get out. Anyway. I do have one thing I've got to point out whilst I remember.
Yeah.
Now, you know I've been going on and on for many a podcast about David Duchemin's video series.
Yes.
Well, it's on special.
Again?
75% off this time. It's only $20 Canadian.
Wow.
Up until July 19.
Wow. I'll tell
you, if you people don't go out and spend $20 Canadian and learn more about photography, with the exception of this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It'll be the best investment you've ever spent on your photography, I assure you.
So what did you say, 75% off?
75% off.
Wow. Until when?
Until July 19. Awesome. $20 Canadian. That's like, I don't know.
That's stupidly cheap.
It's very cheap. For 13 odd hours of video.
Yeah.
You know, it's madness.
And so how do you download it?
Through their website. So you go, you pay for it on their website, they send you a download code, you click the code and follow the link and just downloads.
Right. So 13 hours. I'm thinking there's a couple of gigs worth of download.
I think it's like 4.5 gig from memory, something like that. Which is not horrendous.
It's not too bad.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, depending on what most people's plans these days, or at least 100 gig or whatever, you know. Anyway.
Cool.
So have you got some stuff to talk about outside that? I thought I want to get that the head of the list of stuff.
For sure.
I want everybody to spend the $20.
Right.
Everybody.
Fair enough.
One of these days, he better find out I've been doing these wonderful things for him and, you know, do something nice for me.
Well, mate, the first link I came up with, I just saw the title and thought, oh, this is all Glyn.
Oh, no, really?
This is all Glyn. Glyn is going to be all over this like a rash. It
really?
Is. You're going to love this.
Uh-oh.
Simple tip for getting tack sharp in focus landscape photos every time.
Every time? Even if I spray and pray?
Not just sharp, mate. Tack sharp.
Tack sharp.
Saw that and thought, oh, yeah.
So what's the tips?
Oh, that looks nothing interesting.
Oh.
I just knew you'd love the title.
Oh.
No, seriously, he basically said, set your lens to f8, because that's where most lenses are at their most sharp.
Put your lens at a sharp point.
Yep.
And keep everything in focus.
And then manually focus to 1/3 into your scene. And then, you know, if you've got a live view camera, then check your near portions of the frame for focus and the distant objects in the frame for focus. And if it's not focused, then shut your aperture down a bit more. Like I said, nothing mind blowing in the content, but I just thought for getting tack sharp every.
I've got worse.
Have you?
I've got worse.
What do you got?
Mine is what to photograph with a zoom lens.
Right.
What to photograph with a zoom lens.
Right. Is this written by the same person who came up with the tips for why you might want to use high ISO?
Oh. Wildlife photography is up there. They've got there on their tips.
No.
Yes.
Jeez, that's some out-of-the-box thinking there.
For good wildlife photos, it's often necessary to get up close and personal with your subject. As you can't often get close to your subject, a local longer focal length is needed. Fabulous. A zoom lens such as the Tamron 70-200 lets you do this with ease. What a crock.
Exactly.
What a load of crock. A 200mm lens.
Yes.
Crock. He means the Tamron 150-600.
Again, it's exactly the same argument as I raised last week about, you know, to shoot the Harbour Bridge, you've got to be using the, you know, the blah, blah, blah. It's all relative. No. It's relative to how close you are, how far away you are, the size of the subject you're trying to shoot.
Because what you were going about the Harbour Bridge was if you wanted a photograph that looks like this, remember the semantics?
I remember you raising that, but I don't remember if that's exactly what it said, and I have not been able to find the link ever since. So anyway, we'll let that one lie. But again, it comes down to the lack of specifics makes it very open as an argument.
It does. Well, I mean,
you know, 70-200 is probably okay if the elephant is only 10 feet away.
Absolutely. Zoom lenses become particularly useful in zoos when you could be moving from photographing elephants some distance away to close-ups of smaller animals in Pets Corner. But my zoo doesn't have Pets Corner. Does that mean I can't use that lens for that shot?
Clearly.
Macro work. Step number two thing. Here we go.
What?
Just because the lens is a zoom, it doesn't mean that you can't be used to capture some great macro shots. The zoom lets you get up close to creatures that might be out of your reach for a close-up shot, like dragonflies hovering over water, for example. Also, using accessories like an extension tube will help you to focus in on subjects that are a little further out. Fabulous. Creative. Here we are. So, what to photograph with a zoom lens? Creative. What? I've tried photographing creative for ages. I can never find it. I've been looking for it everywhere. Yeah, there's a place across the street from my studio. It's called Creative Colour. I figured if I just don't include the colour bit in the picture, I photographed creative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Zoom lenses give you plenty of room for creativity, whether it be using blur for abstracts or creating a sense of movement.
Uh-huh. Why do I need a zoom lens if I want to do blurs for abstracts?
Or creating a sense of movement, for that matter. You can also use this type of lens for zoom burst photography.
Right.
Where the lens is smoothly zoomed out or in during the exposure. Well, he's right there.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a given.
Give him that.
Landscape. You can use a zoom lens for taking landscapes.
Wow.
A zoom lens might not be your first thought when heading out for some landscape photography. Really? I thought it would be everyone's first thought, to be honest. But they give you the chance to shoot the popular wider landscape as well as shots with longer focal lengths. That's just fabulous.
Yeah.
As mentioned above, it also means you can head out with just one lens rather than a bag full. What the? If you're a Tamron 70-200 lens owner, get a feeling this might be Tamron sponsored.
Possibly.
I'll have to start writing some stuff for Tamron. So this time it's garbage. You'll know it has a completely internal mechanism, meaning the lens doesn't rotate. This makes it ideal for using filters, something that's important for landscape photography, as it means your grad won't end up at the crazy angle once you've zoomed in and ready to shoot. Of course, you could always turn it at the end, couldn't you, really?
Exactly.
So they said, my what to shoot with a zoom lens beats yours. Oh,
dear.
So I'm thinking of writing one. I haven't done it yet. I should have. I've been a bit busy today. What to photograph with a camera. I probably could do it right now. Number one, things. Number two, stuff. Number three, moving objects. Number four, non-moving objects. Number five, all of the above.
Yeah.
And more.
And more, that's right.
Step six, et cetera. Step seven, infinity. Thank you.
Oh, dear.
Just because I haven't blogged that one yet doesn't mean someone else can go out there and do it and steal my great ideas.
No, that's right.
Can you believe this fluff is out there in the world? Can you? No wonder it's so hard for anyone to learn photography when this gibberish is out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just a little bit. There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Gibberish.
I haven't seen the link that you're referring to.
Yes,
I don't know. So allow me to defend the author, even though I have no idea whether he warrants defense or not. Was he targeting this at absolute newbies?
It doesn't matter who you're targeting it at. You don't offer up that garbage even to a friend. You're not helping anybody by offering that to someone who knows nothing about photography, are you?
Probably
not. How is that possibly helping them? You can zoom in on something or not. Well, thanks for that. That's just, no, you've nailed it in one. I can now call myself a pro.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, that doesn't help anyone, does it?
No.
You know?
No. Well, while you're mentioning, where was that article? Oh, yeah. It was from Carl Hemmings. He posted this on the Facebook wall, and seeing as how you mentioned about, you know, I'm now a pro. This was called I Am a Photographer, allegedly written by Colleen Gonser. And it starts with, I can use a hammer, but it doesn't make me a builder. And I probably don't need to read the rest. You can probably work out roughly where this is headed.
Can I just tell you, I'm also sick to effing death of photographers bleating about startup photographers. Absolutely had my jack of them. I think I've got my angry pills on today, Bruce. I've had the jack of them. You holier than thou. Just shut up, stop typing, stop blogging, stop Facebooking, and run your bloody business. Don't bleat about someone down the street cheap, then, yeah? Do your job better and get people to notice you for you.
Right.
And if you're that bloody good, they'll pay whatever price you're charging. They won't say, oh, but I can get it for $1,500 cheaper down the street. Yeah, but they're not me, and you come to see me.
Yeah.
Get off your bloody hop. Give people an even break. You know, people are allowed to make mistakes. They're allowed to start up a business not really knowing what they're doing.
Like with the way they write their blog posts about how to use zoom lenses?
Pretty much. No, don't you dare turn my words back on me. No, because I say you're allowed to start up and do your own business. Just don't necessarily then try and teach other people based on your lack of knowledge.
Right.
So if you don't know anything about photography, don't teach other people photography. Okay, like how to
absolutely
use it as an example. Yeah, feel free to go out and shoot with other people and help each other along. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But don't write as if you're an expert.
Yeah.
When you're not. But feel free to start a business. My uncle started a fish and chip shop business.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know anything about fish and chips.
Right.
Other than going to the shop and eating them the previous times, he had to learn. And you know what? He burnt himself a few times as he was learning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. I've got another link here that was sent through pretty much that happens to be covering right over there. It's called Five Things That Kill Your Business Fast.
Oh, okay.
And it's by a photographer who made lots of mistakes when she started out because she didn't really know what she was doing.
Right.
Yeah, and she's sharing her knowledge, not of what I know, not of, oh, look at me, aren't I great, not bleating about other people competing against her, but this is the stuff-ups I made. Maybe if you learn from me, you won't do them as well.
Right.
That's a pretty decent post to have out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She didn't write it particularly well, let's say. but yeah, one of them I just don't understand at all. But yeah, but the other four are pretty good.
Yeah, right.
You know, I've read a bunch of them this week about people bleating about photographers, startups, and yeah, all they should be caring about is doing their own job well.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like in any workplace, you always want to bleat about the guy who's a bit lazy.
Yep.
And a bleat about, but you can't do anything about it. You just got to keep doing what you do well and hope it gets noticed.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's exactly the same thing. Do what you do well as a photographer. Try and be the best version of you possibly can. Well, here's another tip for you folks out there, if there's any of our 14, soon to be 13, 12, 11, 10 listeners.
Yeah.
If there's someone in your neighborhood who's given photography a bad name, who's pulling the prices down, who's taken bad photos, don't bleat about them. Go talk with them and offer to teach them.
Okay.
Teach them to be a better photographer. Teach them to value what they're doing. Teach them how to take great photographs that are worth more. Elevate all the prices of photography in your area because everyone's a better photographer.
You know what I'd throw in there?
What would you throw in there, Bruce?
Is that it may not be that they're necessarily not great photographers, that they're just not great communicators.
Well, is that too? But
I think one of the biggest issues with YouTube is the number of people who try and get on there and, you know, they publish a video that is meant to be helpful in some way, shape or form.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And they have no idea. Either they don't know the content enough to teach it or they don't have the communication skills to get across what they know.
Absolutely. And you see that all the time, even like on Kelby's training site and Lasterlite, a classic example. I've got a guy doing pro videos for the Lasterlite website, and they're all awful.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, once again, it's not that he's necessarily a bad photographer. As a communicator and a visual presenter, he's not very engaging and engrossing and inspiring.
Yep.
Yeah. And the goal of anyone who wants to teach should be to inspire.
Yep.
You know, to as I said, if you've got someone in your neighborhood you think's just doing a disservice to your business, go and help them.
Yeah.
Inspire them to be better. You know, I've taught a lot in small towns where all the local competing photographers get together and bring me into town.
Yep.
To elevate all of them. And if they all get better, then there's no one trying to drag the business down to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
They all want to be successful. So everyone help each other. And guess what? Maybe it will work. You know, they don't have to be competitors. They're always going to be competitors, but they don't have to be, based on price, but based on, well, hire me for my personality and my style or her for her personality and her style.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not based on, well, they're $50 cheaper and I'll do $100 cheaper then just so you book me rather than them. Get off your hobby horse, people, and just concentrate on your own business.
Mm.
That's enough of my angst.
It's a noble sentiment, but when people are driven by the need to pay for mortgages and things like that, then unfortunately some of them are going to fall into the race to the bottom.
No, because the ones who are at the bottom tend to be ones who've already got jobs.
Right.
Okay, and they're doing on the weekend, they don't need the money to pay their bills, because if they did, they wouldn't be able to get enough set the prices they charge, they wouldn't get enough sessions in to pay their bills.
Yeah.
It's not a viable business as far as a sole business. But if you've got a 3 or 4 day a week job, or a husband with or slash wife, my wife earns more than I do. So husband or wife that have a income that can support you sacrificing that stuff.
Yep.
That's where the problem lies. Yeah. But if they had to actually justify, and the thing is, if they're doing those sort of prices and trying to do it as a full time living, well, they will go bankrupt and there won't be a problem in a year and a half.
Yeah,
because you won't be able to afford your mortgage and all that sort of stuff. So, yes, it's a race to the bottom. But if you're doing $50 sessions, there's only so many you can fit in a week.
That's right.
That's not going to fit. That's not going to cover enough of your bills, I would imagine.
No.
To be an ongoing concern. But if the local pro comes down and says, "Oh, I love that you're starting up. I think you're doing some nice stuff. Here, let me show you some stuff that I've learned, blah, 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 blah. And this is how I do my business." We're not talking about colluding on prices, but elevating and getting an understanding. Because once again, being a photographer is running a business, not taking photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. And go down and help them to actually learn the business side. Therefore, they'll start valuing, or even not so much valuing their work, but pricing their work where they can actually maintain a business and actually maintain
it sustainable.
Yeah, sustainable. Exactly. So, yes, it's a holier than thou, but I've seen it work.
Yeah.
I've seen it work lots in small towns especially.
Yeah, right.
Where these – and so majority are not being sexist, but those gorgeous women are making me sexist. No, that's not right. it's a line from Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, okay.
we're literally – local photographers have all got together, and theoretically there should be competition, but no, they're all trying to elevate each other.
Right.
Yeah, and they get together and have morning coffees and talk about stuff, you know, and that's great. You know, oh, I've got a new supplier for this type of prop or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And they'll help each other out. It's pretty darn cool. And I love that kind of dynamic, because they all have the right attitude as far as, you know, we want to elevate this from being just something you get at a supermarket type photography or shopping center to something that is an art form and a sustainable art form for all of us, you know?
Yeah.
So it may be holier than that, but doesn't mean it's not possible.
Well, somewhat related was another article I came across through the week on Petapixel, which was how to save big money by not hiring a professional wedding photographer. Did you see this?
I didn't see that.
It's brilliant. It's very satirical. Step one. Rent the same cameras and lenses the pros use. Estimated cost $1,170. He goes on to argue that...
No, that's not true. I can find something that can rent the stuff out cheaper.
So anyway, he's basically saying that everybody knows that it's the cameras that make the great pictures. So all you've got to do is hire the same cameras that the pros use and you're halfway there. Step two, rent your tripods, softboxes and memories cards. Estimated cost $250. Step three, recruit two friends or starving college students to snap the photos for you. Estimated cost $320.
Gee, they're expensive. I can get the students cheaper as well.
Yeah. Step four, you're going to need a couple of books and video tutorials. Estimated cost $200.
Oh, no, you can get that off YouTube.
Step five, shoot away. Tell the photographer to go nuts. Estimated cost free.
Step six, you don't have to worry about even replacing the stuff if it's high.
Step six, Photoshop those pictures. Estimated cost $200. So you just got to read it. Anyway, and of course, the kicker is that by the time you add up all of these costs, you've saved $100, but you've spent 100 hours doing it. It's a very good read.
That's a whopping 4% savings for you.
That's right. It's very funny.
Yeah, they're charging too cheap. The pro wedding photographer sounds too cheap. If somebody's 4% savings. I came across a top five reasons, speaking about weddings, top five reasons for having a trash the dress session.
Oh, okay.
which I thought was interesting. Five reasons to have a trashed address. I go, oh, yeah. I'll read that one.
So what were and, they?
Well, here we go. One of the beauties of wedding photography is that you can get really creative with the happy couple. The only catch is you need to have the right conditions for creating beautiful images. The wedding day rarely offers those ideal conditions. So here are five reasons why we believe an after-wedding photo session, popularly named Trash the Dress, is what you need to do with your clients. Well, there we go. One reason why you should have a Trash the Dress session is because it's time. One of the most obvious reasons is time, or better said, the lack of it. The schedule of a wedding day is usually very tight and almost without exception, very hard to respect. I don't know about the respect bit. That brings along a lot of stress, and a stressed bride and groom are not what good photos require. Having a separate day for the creative part of wedding photography will ensure you time you need to get the best results. Now, that's not trash the dress.
No.
Trash the dress means trashing the dress. This is having another photo shoot. Now, I actually like the idea of a separate day to shoot the formal portraits of the bride and groom. I think it's a fabulous idea. The only problem with it is the women always have the dress. The men hire the suits.
Yeah.
So they're going to go and fork another $300 in hire costs for that day. But other than that, it's kind of a cool idea.
But on top of that, you generally find that the bride has also paid $300 to have her hair done and probably another $200 to have her makeup done.
Yep. Spot on. Here's number two reason for having a trash dress, diversity. Once you have enough time, you can start exploring different options, accessories and props and other fun stuff. Namely, trashing the dress you normally wouldn't be scared or shocked to see at a wedding can be used in accessories, props and other stuff. Namely, trashing the dress that you normally would be scared or shocked to see at a wedding can all be used and done. You might make some beautiful photos during the wedding day. Actually, you should if you call yourself a pro.
Yeah, exactly.
But the real fun starts after the reception. Of course it does. But, oh, I see what he's talking about. I see where he's coming from. So he's talking about going to different location. No, different options as far as what they can wear. Okay. That's not trashing the dress.
No.
Locations. Think, and he's only got one example photo, and it's not just a formal portrait. There's no trashing the dress going on at all.
Right.
Number three, location. Think of all the amazing locations you can explore and use with newlyweds. Sure, the location of the reception is probably amazing, but you can only do so much in one place. Having an entire day for a shoot means you can travel locally or, if your clients are willingly, internationally. Not only is it fun if traveling is your thing, but the location of the shoot is actually very important for the outcome. Really? I thought light was. Anyway.
Yeah.
Four, family. Oh, getting rid of them. That's probably good. Family is the most important thing in the world, except when you're doing this shoot. A wedding's all about emotion, and things can get really emotional when the entire family is involved. It's great time. It is a great time to capture wonderful, honest expressions of mum strangling dad. No, that doesn't say that. Honest expressions. But it's not the best time to start playing director with a happy couple that everyone else wants a piece of. When the family are out of the picture, everyone can focus better on what they have to do. The bride and groom can finally be themselves, and that's what leads to capturing great photographs. I thought it was location. And finally, five. This is my favorite. The experience. A proper after-the-wedding shoot should be designed as an experience. The client shouldn't just get a few great-looking photographs in some nice locations. They should remember everything. Doing it separately means that you, too, have the time to be yourself, use your sense of humor, and ultimately have a great time. This, too, is part of your job. Your client should have only good memories of you and your experience together. You don't have to become friends for the rest of your lives, but having a good relationship while you work together is part of running this business successfully. It will get you the right recommendations, and ultimately, business will grow. Happy shooting. Just don't trash the dress. What the...
I'm actually thinking that's worse than the How to Use a Zoom Lens article.
Well, it's up there because it's now addressing pros.
But it just reeks of someone who has no idea of what they're supposed to do on the wedding day.
Oh, what a trash the dress session actually is.
Oh, what a trash the dress session is.
It's not another photo shoot, dude. It's not an after-wedding photo shoot is not popularly known as a trash the dress session. Trashing the dress is often a popular thing these days. I'm not sure if it's around the world. Is smash the cake birthday parties for babies?
Oh, okay.
Seen the things where babies pummel this piece of cake and smush it all over their face and in their mouth, just make this god-awful mess.
Right, okay.
I'm thinking about writing a smash the 5 reasons to have a smash the cake session where we don't actually touch the cake. Actually, that's what he's talking about, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Get a wooden cake so when the baby smashes it, all he gets is splinters rather than damaging your prop. it's just, once again,
it's bizarre.
Garbage, this minutia of garbage that's out there.
It sounds like someone said, write me a blog post about reasons for doing a trash the dress session, and the guy had no ideas, so he's just made some stuff up.
Yeah. And shown a photograph of someone standing next to a wall. I know. So what else have you got? Let's get some good stuff.
I feel depressed now.
I've got to send you the trash the dress link.
This one was just a nice, fun video to watch. And this was a guy who took all sorts of everyday objects and, using an industrial sander, sanded off 1 millimeter layers off all of these various objects and took still photographs after each 1 mil had been removed and then turned them into stop motion video. It is awesome. It must have been hellishly time consuming to do, because he's
where do people get these ideas?
I have no idea. Maybe he was imagining the head of the author of the last two blog posts that you read out.
That's
all
hours, 4 hours.
Yeah. But anyway, have a look. The link will be in the show notes. It's just really good. Like he does one with a block of wood, like a
right.
piece of a log of a tree. Another one is like an AC wall wart. Yeah, sands this entire wall wart down. Goes through a walnut, still in its, you know, like a whole walnut in the shell.
That's cool.
All sorts of cool stuff.
It's hard to do that without it breaking the walnut.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, he's done it really well because he's, you know, somehow managed to keep all of these objects perfectly still while taking a millimeter off them at a time with an industrial sander. So, yeah, it's worth a look. It's just something a bit silly and different and, yeah.
Amazing stuff.
worth a geez. What else did I have? Oh, Brian Horton sent us a link.
He did. Hi, Brian.
Thank you, Brian, on the Facebook page. The top 30 most socially influential photographers.
It's complete rubbish.
Well, I've got to confess to not even knowing the number one person.
Well, we're not even on it.
No, we're not. That is just...
Don't you know Jeremy Cowart?
No, I don't.
You don't know Jeremy Cowart?
No.
Never heard of Jeremy Cowart?
No.
Me either.
Heard of Joe McNally. Heard of Chase Jarvis, number two and number four. And then working down the list, there was...
Based on who?
Sorry?
Based on who?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know what the metric is for,
Jasmine Starr as an example, number 7.
Yeah.
Is she there because of the controversy of someone that she was paying people to blog for her and she got found out and she was copying, stealing other people's posts?
Don't know.
Was she there because she was already popular? Yeah. Trey Ratcliffe. Yeah, you'd be happy to see him, mate.
Don't get me started.
Only one down from Scott Kelby. I mean, yeah. Really?
Lisa really? Bettany, I know. Vincent Lefore, I know. Jared Pollan, I've heard of.
And a David Hobby, all the way down at
David Hobby at 26, yeah. Peter Hurley, lovely. Yes. Zacharias, yes. And that's about it.
29, I think that's... No, you know Jerry, 25.
Who? Oh, Jerry Gahana, sorry, yes. Sorry, I missed Jerry there, yes.
The only Australian who made the list.
Yes, exactly.
I know many of the other folk, but... I wonder if that's based on clout scores or whatever.
I was going to say it could be something like that or, you know, number of followers on Twitter or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting.
Thank you for sending that through. I always like to be made to feel less worthy, Brian. That's fabulous. Yeah. Send through your friggin' awesome pictures to start with and then show us that we're not in the top 30 for social media. Appreciate it, Brian. Thanks for your help.
And Adam sent us a couple of links. Actually, one was something that I can't link to. I'll just have to... tell you to head off to the Shutters Inc. Facebook page to have a look at. And that was the chart for social media image sizes, which I thought was very handy. It's just handy to know, you know, if you want to put a new cover image up on your Facebook wall, what size to make, you know, the dimensions of the image so that it goes up at its native size and Facebook doesn't mash it and mangle it and do all the nasty stuff that it's famous for. You know, the size of your thumbnail images and your profile pics and it covers everything like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of those different sites. So it's just a handy chart to...
Yeah, and that was good.
Have a squiz at, yeah.
I did like his Murphy's Law of Photography.
Yes, and that was one of the other links that I was going to talk about. I did have a read of this. Hang on, let me just bring it up again. Oh, that's right.
Yes. Number one's a classic, isn't it?
Yes. If the test shots go perfectly, the real shoot will be a disaster.
Absolutely. Success happens quietly when no one is looking. Failure blasts the door off its hinges when the client is watching.
That's right. Yeah.
The greater your excitement, the better shoot, the greater chance something will go exceptionally wrong.
Yeah.
You'll need a tripod when you don't have one with you. That's a classic. Yeah. The smoother the shoot goes, the greater likelihood that the card will be lost, corrupted, or stolen by werewolves. I think what he's meaning by that, though, is... Any post-apocalyptic type animal, humanoid, not just specifically werewolves.
Yeah, I love number 8. Perfect weather will return as soon as you finish packing up your gear and drive away.
I had a fishing trip like that once where me and my friend, we were going up on a Friday night and coming back on a Sunday night.
Right.
And as we got to the top of the hill, about to come down to the valley on the Friday night in this valley where this river was, it started raining.
Okay.
And raining. And raining, and we put up our swag. We're sleeping in a swag. At 2 o'clock in the morning, we woke up with a river going through it. So we spent the rest of the night in the car. Rained all day Saturday. Saturday night, we ended up staying in the motel. Rained all Saturday night. It rained all day Sunday. And the second we hit almost exactly the same spot as we were driving out of the hill, stopped raining. Exactly the same.
Hate that.
Perfection. Perfection. The lens you drop will always be the one you could only afford because you stopped eating for 6 or 8 months.
Yes.
You'll never drop this lens on a soft, pillowy surface.
No, that's right.
Unless you're doing boudoir shoots, maybe that could.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a chance that might happen. Long life batteries actually laugh at you when they run out. it's very true. So there's a few more in there. People could have a look if they. But there's so many movies. It's like whenever you pull your camera down to look at the screen, the best thing of the day happens in front of you. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't look at your screen. Don't look at your screen.
That's it.
and
the last one from Adam was the Timera 2 software, which allows users to create mixed time images, like images from yesteryear combined with an image that you're going to take right now. And the way it does it is it allows you to look up an historical photo from, you know, where you are currently standing, assuming, of course, that you've been able to find a historical photo from that spot. And then it overlays it sort of semi-transparently on your camera screen of your phone so that you can move into position and line up, you know, let's say it was buildings in the historical photo with, you know, the street view in front of you to get the same angle and location. And then it allows you to take the photograph, you know, of the way the environment looks today.
Yeah.
And presumably the software then does the merge for you, or do you have to then go and do it yourself? I haven't read that far.
Yeah.
But do you know? Does it merge it for you?
No, but I don't know. But it's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I mean the sample images that are in the blog post look great. The only thing that I was thinking about as I was looking at them was I thought, well, hang on, most camera cameras in mobile phones don't have an optical zoom; they only have digital zoom, which means you are relying on the same focal length. You know, you've got to hope that, you know, the focal length of your phone camera is somewhat equivalent to the focal length of the original image because,
So if you only had 5 reasons to use a zoom lens, you'd be able to figure out it. and solve all those problems.
That's right.
5 reasons a phone should have an optical zoom lens. There you go.
But
it's especially if you're traveling somewhere, if you go to Paris for a holiday, it'd be kind of cool. You know?
Yeah.
I'll match up some of this because a lot of the shots are taken from still very popular touristy spots to take photos.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Anyway, Timera users can create unique then and now photos by overlaying the archive photo with a photo they just took. Yeah. So I'm assuming that the app will actually do the. You know, the merging of the two images.
You'd have to imagine it would.
Yeah.
And a pointless. And,
that's true.
Otherwise.
But,
So
anyway, excellent. So what have you got on your list?
Well, I've got a few bits. We've been following the DP review or D-preview, depending on what you prefer.
Yeah.
top 10 for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, you have.
Canon.
Nobody else cares.
Fallen out of the top 10 completely this week.
Again?
No, this is the first time ever. Remember, it went from only like 2, then down to 1. Oh. Now they're gone completely.
What?
I don't think I could ever imagine a time ever.
Wow.
In the history of DP review or D preview, whatever you prefer, a site that Canon would not have had one of the top 10 viewed cameras.
Wow.
Which is quite astounding. It does lead, I'm told that the new Canon cameras will be announced on September the 5th, though. Midnight September 5.
Right.
So it was. They've only got a few weeks before they get back up there, I'd imagine.
Right.
But just shows how much of a gap there's been in Canon's product announcements that's captured any interest that they can be totally missing in people's search habits on that website. You know,
so are the 10 cameras that are on the list this week all, you know, from major players?
Oh yeah, they're all Sonys and Nikons and Olympuses and Panasonics.
Yep.
That Panasonic FZ1000 is up the top at the moment. You know, the one with the 4K video and so on.
Yep.
So that's up there at the top at the moment. But not a single sausage. Which I said, I've got to say, is have to be a first. I couldn't imagine it ever being that case in the past.
Yeah, right.
Certainly, no time I've ever looked at it over the years, which is nothing. Then I saw a little thing on Scott Kelby's website.
Yep.
100 ways Lightroom kicks Adobe Bridge's ass, and they put together 100 little.
Like, sorry, 34- Lightroom versus Bridge.
Yeah.
Well, they're not even the same product.
No, but 100 30-to-40-second videos about why you should use that rather than use Bridge.
But Bridge is only. A file manager, it's not...
Yeah, but it's an importer, file manager, but it's a lot of stuff that Lightroom can do.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
You go watch the 100 30 to 40 second videos, dude, and
pass. See what you...
But for those who don't know how to get more out of Lightroom, there's 100... That's just number 100, that's actually did like 3, so it's like 102, to be honest, yeah, so...
Right.
Yes, there's Mr. I'll watch 15 minutes of aperture video, but I won't watch... anyway.
Yeah, but that's... crazy.
But then there's a nice, cool little thing I came across. I didn't really read a lot about it because I don't do much on it.
Right.
But it's all to do with correcting fisheye images to get better architectural images using fisheye lenses.
Oh, okay.
And so anyone out there who... This guy uses the Canon 8-15mm zoom fisheye lens, and then uses all sorts of software to correct the images, and his work is pretty darn cool. So sort of put that there for those people who look at that sort of stuff and look at perspective correction and all that kind of thing.
Yep.
Then we've got a follow-up to our Sony curved sensor we were talking about last week.
Oh, yeah.
They've actually posted, so it's actually, because remember last week we were talking, they're putting a patent out. Well, this week they've shown an image from it, so they're beyond just conceptualizing. It's actually out there as a working, functioning sensor.
Right.
But they're saying that there's all sorts of problems that it can't use big zoom lenses because of how the light path curve changes as you zoom.
I
had this idea that, well, a flat sensor is no good and a curved sensor is no good. What you need is a flexing sensor that adjusts to the size of the focal length you're using.
Yep.
Imagine that sort of bends and flexes. So the bigger the lens or the smaller the lens, it changes.
Yeah, so the shorter the focal length, the more it bends.
More curve, yeah, and then as it goes up, it flattens out. You can imagine that's definitely a future...
Only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm sure I'm a clever.
Very interesting concept.
I'm a clever closs, as my 6-year-old. She also says I'm a clever closs rather than clever clogs because she didn't quite get the terminology right. And then I came across a couple of really cool Instagram feeds.
Right.
One's called Everyday Astronaut. And it's this guy who sets up photographs of himself.
Yeah.
In an astronaut's costume, outfit.
As you do, yeah.
And doing all sorts of wacky and or really mundane, like mowing the lawn kind of stuff, but wearing astronaut outfit, which is...
Okay.
And then the other one, I came across the TSA Instagram feed.
The who?
TSA. So
Whatever.
The people who check all your bags at the airport, effectively. Yes,
in America.
And it's Instagram feed of all the cool stuff they find in bags.
Oh, wow.
So that's worth having a bit of a look at for a bit of fun and to see what they're up to at work.
Oh, jeez.
Week.
Oh, no.
Just kind of a laugh.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of fun Instagram feeds, I had to say. Did you see, this has been going around the social media world this week. This guy used a drone to fly through fireworks during July.
Oh, yes. Well, now that was brilliant.
Now he's in trouble with the FCC.
Right.
They're saying about flying an unmanned object through above a crowd.
Yeah.
And if it had been hit by one of the projectiles and fallen.
Yeah.
And hit someone, so he's been investigated by them. So that's kind of interesting. The footage was pretty darn cool.
Oh, it was great.
But
what was amazing was how many of those embers would go straight towards the drone and only just miss it.
Yeah, I think it's a case that's worthwhile keeping an eye on because this could have long term ramifications if they go to court.
Yes,
and start talking about the use of. And here's the thing. Especially in America, is your drone being used for commercial purposes or for personal purposes?
Yeah, right.
Now, his video promoted an app that he was designing at the beginning and the end of the fireworks footage.
Right.
And therefore, they're now saying, well, that's commercial. You're trying to get commercial gain out of this footage. Therefore, it's commercial flight.
Yep.
Therefore... A whole other whack of trouble.
Ooh.
So, yeah, so it's interesting times. This is a whole new...
Yes. I didn't grab a copy of the link, but I saw someone on Facebook today, a mate of mine from the US who's getting right into the whole shooting commercial footage from drones, and he posted this link, and it was about a couple of guys who are potentially on the receiving end of some bad... juju from the New York Police Department because they were flying their drones and interfering with the flight of a New York Police Department chopper.
That's not good.
No.
Oh, good.
And my mate who posted the link was saying, you know, it's this kind of thing that's going to end up ruining this for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, because if this kind of thing goes on, then before very long, they're going to start saying, okay, you're going to have a license to fly a drone and,
flying for flight patterns. And
yep.
So it's interesting. So I thought for those out there experimenting, it's something worthwhile keeping an eye on for sure.
Yep.
Two last things.
Yep.
Sony released a new phone this week, and I'm calling it the Sony Selfie.
Right.
It's actually called the Xperia C3, but it's the first phone that's really trying to work its design around people who for selfies.
Okay.
And that the front-facing camera is now twice the resolution of any front-facing camera on any other one. It's wider angle, and it's got twice the resolution.
Oh, great. So your face can look even more distorted.
It's got
a
front-facing flash, the first phone in the world with a flash facing at you, which is – and what I thought was really important, built-in pirate hats.
Excuse me?
Built-in pirate hats.
Pirate hats?
Built-in pirate hats. So you can put pirate hats on your head or a cigarette coming out of your mouth or a moustache or glasses. It's got all these little things, little templates you can put on
to
decorate your selfie.
Okay.
There you go. So I'm calling it the Sony Selfie, but it just shows us how dominant this whole selfie craze is.
Oh, it's insane.
It's the you know, the all about me generation, as we know.
Yep.
And where they should know it should be all about us. See if they don't. I've got one last thing for Brisbane and Melbourne listeners.
Yeah.
There's a thing coming to your town soon called the Educational Photo Expo.
Right.
And you can find it at educationalphotoexpo.com.au. What a novel. What a terrible name. The Educational Photo Expo. Really, it's sexy, isn't it? That makes
now,
me want to...
hang on.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go there. You cannot go there. No, you cannot.
I know. Creative photo workshops.
No, I wasn't.
Tells you what it does. Tells you what it's about.
No, yeah, exactly. And that's my whole point. Like, you were on your soapbox about the digital show and how that didn't say anything. But LA has the big photo show, and at least that tells you what it does right on the box. So, no, you can't give them crap.
But it can still have to be so... It still doesn't tell you anything.
It's an educational photo expo.
Okay.
What more do you want?
Anyway, that's it. It's coming to Brisbane on August the 23rd.
Right.
It's not very far away. Not far away at all.
No, it's
not. It's got massive publicity. I think I'm the first person talking about it. And the website only got up last week. But it's got massive publicity. And then coming to Melbourne on the 6th of September.
Right.
And but here's the thing.
No Sydney one?
No Sydney.
Oh, okay.
It's on the 12th floor of some building in Melbourne.
Why?
Well, that's what I said. I said, what? Yeah, it's part of the Victorian University complex down in Flinders Street in Melbourne. But 12 floors up is a long way to drag people from the yes. floor from the street. Yeah. But it's one of those things you got to book in advance, and I think it's a pay to play kind of event.
Right.
I've got a booth at it, but I don't actually know much about it.
Right.
Put together by PMA, so it's part of my mob. But I've got nothing. But,
well, at least they've taken a leaf out of your book.
I know.
They've heard you bleating about the name of the digital show.
I have indeed. But they should have talked to me about the name.
Right. And what would you have called it?
Edufoho Expo. I don't know. I would have come up with something better.
You would have called it Glyn's Educational Photo Expo.
It was the photo show.
Hey?
The photography show. Something... You put the word educational in there, I'm afraid that puts people off.
Okay.
Yeah, not you, because of the type of brain you are, but to a lot of people, that sounds dull.
Right.
To a lot of people, that sounds boring.
Okay.
I don't want to be educated. How about learn? I'd like to learn, but I don't want to be educated.
Right.
Very different. Okay. You know what I mean? But the photo show, well, or the photography show, if it needs be, is simple. And tells you what's going on. It's a photography show.
Mm.
It might spark your interest enough to go look at the site. If it sparks your interest enough to look at the site, then you'll see what's going on. Maybe you'll go to it.
Mm.
But if that word education puts you off, like it does a lot of people,
yep.
Remember, not everyone has a positive experience with the concept of education.
Mm.
I have a horrendous experience with education.
Right.
Yeah, I teach terribly. You know, shocking. So I went to 14 schools in 8 years, and it was horrendous every single time.
Yeah,
and I got thrown out at 14, booted out for me. School is horrendous, and it's nothing but a life of torture in the back of my head.
Yeah.
So I see that word educational, and it's like, yeah, that, or I start to yawn. I want to be educated. And remember, the problem with this is it's run once again by 65, 75-year-old men who used to do stuff in the photo industry back in the 70s.
Right.
And don't really got what the modern photography world's about.
Right.
But, hey, Canon and Nikon on board, and Camera House and Ted's are on board, and Michael's, all the major players are going to be there, and which is something, even PMA USA can't get Canon and Nikon on board, so it's something.
Wow.
So, we'll be interesting to see. So, I'll be out. So I'm doing some talks at it. And
cool.
Probably have some live photo shoots, and I've got a stand there promoting the old workshop business.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in Melbourne, I'm not going to Brisbane. I'm just going to do the Melbourne one.
Right.
But if you are in Melbourne, come on down.
Cool.
Educationalphotoexpo.com.au. I think it's co-joined with the Train Spotters Association's annual get-together.
Right.
I don't want to be disparaging to Train Spotters, but hopefully, look, I'm hoping it's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
be interesting. So at least they're trying something. At least they're trying to connect.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so give them that.
Give them credit for that.
And that's it, my friend. That is all I have. I have nothing. I have zip. I've got sweet. Not very much.
Right. All right, then. Well, you have a good week off.
Yes.
Because I won't be here, so there'll be no podcast next week.
Podcast whilst you're away.
Sorry?
Aren't you gonna type in, zone in from Upper Kentuck to Western? Oh, you slack. Well, just because I do what I travel do doesn't mean you get to. Now, have a great holiday.
I will do that.
And you know what we're expecting, of course.
What's that?
You know what we're expecting.
Some photos?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, well, there'll be photos.
And what kind of photos are we expecting?
Good ones?
Bloody good ones.
Right.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
I'll see what I can do.
No pressure, but they better be good or else. Right. We shall tease you mercilessly.
Oh, you will anyway, regardless how good they are. All right, mate. Well, I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks' time.
No worries, mate. Take care of yourself. Have a great trip.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.